Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is August the 12th, 2011, so it is the live show tonight. And this is going to be our last live show for 2 months. We are leaving on Monday, on the 15th, and we're going to be all over the world. Well, not all over the world. We'll be all over Europe. Well, we'll be all over Europe. We'll be all over the world before we get home for Christmas. But this phase, in the next 2 months, we're going to be all over Europe and India, Egypt. So there's a whole lot of places we'll be going to.
Right.
So we won't have any live shows until October the 7th.
Right.
So between this show and then, it'll be reruns out of the archives. But we are taking callers tonight. It's just me and Julia, and we're going to be discussing a lot of the things we're going to be doing on this trip. And if anybody wants to join us, they're having tours set up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And people can come and join us on these tours.
Yeah, we'll be doing things that not everybody gets to do. So that's, not the average person gets to do. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Okay, so I'll give out the toll-free number if anybody does want to call in and ask questions. 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to call in and just ask questions or talk about the tour or whatever you want to ask. Okay. Well, this is going to be exciting because we are going to be going to a lot of places we haven't been before.
Mm-hmm.
But we leave on Monday the 15th, and the first place we're going to go is going to be Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I've never been to Sweden. We're going to be in Stockholm. I've been in part of that world. I've been to Norway, which is the north. We got a caller already. I thought I heard something there. But we're going to be in Stockholm, where I'm going to be doing a class, and that class is really getting big.
Mm-hmm.
People are still signing up for that. I'll be doing a lecture there in Stockholm and then the class.
Right.
That'll be next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's getting bigger. And I know one thing they want to show us in Stockholm will be the Viking things. They have Viking museums and things there. I've seen some of those when I was in Norway, and it is very interesting when you go that far north with the mythology in that area. But after we go to Stockholm, then we head down to Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And we were in Dublin, it's been about 2 years ago now, I
think. It was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. October, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that was our first time to go there, and that was just more or less as a tourist that time. We just had a few days that we went there. And that was really remarkable, and we loved the Irish people. They were so nice.
They were so nice. And we were told they would be really nice before we went there. So that's what you're going to love about them. They're so nice. And they were. They're amazingly nice.
Well, they helped us out with some predicaments that we were in.
Right.
But everywhere we go, there's always people that'll help us along the way, so we don't worry about that.
Right.
The right ones are always there. But I thought it was interesting right there in that main part of Dublin and had that huge spire. I don't know what else you want to call it. It looked like a gigantic needle, just like a needle. With a point, coming to a point, a big metal thing, and it was really high. I don't know how high it went, but it was towering over the whole area from the ground up, just like a needle, is growing smaller and smaller till it came to a point. I don't even know what the significance of it was. I don't think we ever found out.
I don't know either. I'm hearing homing beacon. Does that make any sense?
I don't think so. It's some kind of a monument that they put up there.
Oh, I'm sure it has some reason, just like our obelisks have reasons here, things like the points. They're there for reasons to bring things in. So.
Well, we have, like the Space Needle and the Washington Monument and things like that, but this one is made out of, stainless steel.
Yeah.
Huge. And, of course, Dublin is the home of the Guinness breweries that go way, way back into the
1700s. So you'll be in a pub, right?
Yeah.
Drinking your beer.
I think we talked about that when we were there, that that was interesting,
mm-hmm.
That the whole city is really built around the Guinness Brewery.
Right.
And what it brought to Ireland and the Irish people. But this time, I think I'm going to go down my list here.
First of all, was there a caller there? Okay.
I guess not. We thought we heard, on our end, it sounds like a beep, so we're never sure. I think if there is, he'll beep us again. Okay, now, in Dublin, we are going to be doing a lecture there in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big thing is on the 24th of August when we go to Newgrange.
Right.
And I had never heard of it before. And this is part of this tour. They
right.
said, do you know how many people are going to go? Or?
No, I don't. I don't know if it's part of the whole thing, like if all these sacred sites are all connected or all together within the tour. But I know Stonehenge, they can only have 20. So I don't know if that's the number for the whole tour. I don't know. So.
Oh, yeah, in Stonehenge, you said they weren't allowed to have very many.
Right, so that may dictate to the numbers for the whole tour. I don't know.
Okay, mm-hmm. But they said Newgrange is not allowed to have too many people in it.
Mm-hmm.
We went online to research it and find out what it is, and I was amazed. I had never heard of it.
Right.
But it's one of the largest and oldest and biggest megalithic structures in Europe. Now, it says it looks like originally like a big mound of dirt, but now it has been excavated and it has a wall around it and it has entrances to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is outside of Dublin, so we're going to have to go out there in a bus. They said it'll take us out there. But the amazing thing is Newgrange is 5,000 years old. And this said this means it's 500 years older than the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Hmm.
Of course, there's a difference. You know, the Great Pyramid is these huge stones and the way it's
right.
built.
Mm-hmm.
But this is 500 years older.
It still means it was in that time period when all these things were going on, whatever.
Yeah, the amazing things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also 1,000 years older than Stonehenge,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. But when they began excavating this, they found huge stones.
Mm-hmm.
But these are laying on their sides all around the entire rim of Newgrange. It's about an acre of big, how big it is where this whole thing sits, and it's got an entrance to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
But these stones are huge, and they have carvings all over them. That's the difference. But what I thought was interesting is they said, originally, all around the outside, they had a ring of stones, upright stones, that weighed several tons,
mm-hmm.
just like Stonehenge.
Yeah.
And they only got, I think they said they had 35 originally. They've got about 12 left, because even with Avebury, they broke them down.
Right.
They tore them down and broke them up into stones to build with. And that's probably the same thing that happened at Newgrange. But they were all around the outside, these tall stones, upright stones. The difference in Stonehenge is they have the lintels, the ones that connect the tops
mm-hmm.
together. But I thought
maybe these did originally, too.
Well, I don't know. We'd have to see if they have
mm-hmm.
those little knobs on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing that I thought of, they said the ring of stones were added around Newgrange 1,000 years later than when it was originally
mm-hmm.
built, which puts it in the same age as Stonehenge is when it was built.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they've made a connection with that, but this means it was at the same time all of these huge
mm-hmm. right.
megaliths were being built all over those areas.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said the stones that this is made out of are they're huge several thousand tons apiece that they made the floors and they had the walls and they have an entrance going through there. But here again, I think this is so, I don't want to say...
Typical.
typical. We don't want to say stupid, but I don't want to say...
No.
You can't call an archaeologist stupid, but I keep thinking...
Well, they're working with what information they have based on what they know now. That's all they have. So you
I know,
to
but they're
there.
Trying to think these people couldn't do anything.
Well, they also said that people put the stones in place with twine at Stonehenge. It's like, and they drug them up from this other place and brought them up there with twine pulled together. And then they had a bunch of people in a row doing it. And it's like, we have machines that couldn't do what was done. So, I mean, you can't tell me you can pull it with twine. I mean...
Well, that was what this says. They said the original people that were living there when this apparently was built, which would have been 5,000 years ago, were just farmers.
Mm-hmm.
It said they had finally, I guess, gotten to that point of development where they were growing crops and they were taking care of animals like cattle, which, you know, we know this all was a gradual process to where mm-hmm. they finally began to grow, you know, and mm-hmm. to...
But we also know people live among them to teach them those things, don't they?
Yeah, that's what we know.
Oh.
The archaeologists don't know that, but mm-hmm. we know it, that they lived among them to teach them how to do these things. But that was all they were doing, was just growing crops and raising animals like cattle. And they hadn't even discovered metal. They had no tools at all. So they were supposed to have constructed this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. I don't like that word.
Yeah, who was? I think it was the tour I took of Stonehenge when I was there the last time, and they were talking about that's the theory is that everything was done with these chicken bones and stuff like that. You know, they dug all these things and they did all the carvings and they did everything. And it's like must have been some pretty strong chicken bones.
Yeah, that's what this is. These stones are all carved.
Mm-hmm.
They're carved in concentric circles.
Yeah, it's not a soft stone either.
No, it's not. But it says their tools would have had to have been stone, wood, or antlers, or
mm-hmm.
bones.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't know how you're going to carve into a hard stone with an antler.
Right. A stone, maybe. Another stone, but, you know.
Yeah, but that was what they were estimating it had to have been.
Yeah, because like I said, this isn't soft stone. This is hard stone. So
yeah,
it's not going to be.
It came from the area, but it was a long way. They said it would have had to have been drug uphill.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's how Stonehenge was. It was
from
drug uphill.
The riverbed had to have been drug uphill.
Right.
Yeah, these things weighing several tons and making a huge mound and with a passageway going all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to drag stones up there, uphill to do it,
mm-hmm.
weighing several thousand
tons. Maybe they were a lot stronger than we give them credit for.
But it did say, I'm going by what I found on the internet, and it said they estimated it took about 300 people at least 20 years to build it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think in those days they were more concerned in growing food and taking care of their families.
I mean, what would its purpose have been?
They don't know.
Exactly. Just like Stonehenge. Well, we know what, you know, well. And see, when you said there's a ring around it, I wonder if when they place rings of stones around things, if that creates the portals.
Well, you know, we know that.
Right. We know that that's what Stonehenge was.
Yeah, we're
so
gonna...
I wonder if... Yeah, we'll get in that in a minute, but I wonder if this wasn't also then.
Well, I'll tell you what they have discovered.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept saying, they always go back to it being a tomb.
Right.
It has to be a tomb or a burial place. But this one, they found the remains of two people
mm-hmm.
in there, and that's it. The bones were scattered in the passageway, and they weren't even, all the bones weren't even there. Now, how can they think from that it was a burial place?
Mm-hmm. Unless
like
it was somebody big, unless it was two people that, you know, royalty or something.
But it said they were just thrown around in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like them saying the pyramids
mm-hmm.
are tombs. And we know they're not. Mm-hmm. They've never found any bodies in them or anything. So why do they always assume they're tombs
mm-hmm.
and that these people who are trying to grow crops and raise food but all of a sudden decide to stop that and build, spent all their time, maybe in shifts or something,
mm-hmm.
building this huge thing.
Right.
For what purpose?
Because it's what the king wanted at the time.
There wasn't even any king.
I don't know what was what the royalty was, what the thing was then. But that's what that one thing that was whoever at the time, that's what they wanted. At Stonehenge, they were like, whoever, they wanted to build this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. The same as at the pyramids. You've got all these people that were supposed to be dragging all these stones around.
Mm-hmm.
And for what reason? But one thing they have found at Newgrange is it is similar to Stonehenge in the fact that the sun comes through this doorway on the solstice, December 21st.
Yeah.
I think in Stonehenge, it's the first day of spring.
It's each of them. Each of the entrances are at the solstice, each solstice. So you have each east, north,
equinox,
south, east,
and
west,
and solstice.
Equinox,
Yeah. Well, this one says it has a little box over the entrance, and they discovered on December the 21st, the sun comes through there exactly. Now, what they found is it's 4 minutes after sunrise now because the time has changed in 5,000 years.
Only 4 minutes?
That's what they said.
Changed more than that.
They said 5,000 years ago, it would have been exactly at sunrise, shining right through the doorway and down the passageway. Mm. And that now, they said now it's 4 minutes after sunrise.
Okay.
Which, yeah, here again, does that make much sense?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't, because we know things have changed more than that. We know everything shifted more than that.
In my books, we found that out, that the world has moved because all the climates have changed.
Right.
The continents have changed. In the Legend of Star Crash that I wrote about, how they said the whole area used to be tropical, and now they're Arctic.
Yeah.
Everything was changed and moved.
Right. And that's been within that time period?
Well, it would have been that time period or older even. Okay. So there's a lot of things happened that they're not taking into account. But I do think it's interesting that it does shine right through there. You can hear some rumbling in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been raining. We love it. We're not going to complain. We absolutely love that we have rain now.
Oh, because
we have for a few days. So.
We were in the oven when we came back from our nationwide tour. It was the hottest ever here, up 105, 108. And in the last 2 days, we've been having terrible storms, but they're not terrible because
they're wonderful, and the ground is yelling for joy, and it's soaking it all up, and it's nice. It's cooler now. It's wonderful.
It broke the heat.
Yeah.
So we're hearing rumblings. I just hope it doesn't knock us off the air anyway.
We'll just have a thunder party.
But they did say it's very difficult to get to go inside Newgrange, even to even be there.
Mm-hmm.
That on the winter solstice, they only allow 50 people to go inside, and they're chosen by lottery.
Wow.
To be in there so they can witness the the sunrise coming through the doorway and down the hall.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But part of the tour, they said, they recreate it now with electric lights so they can show people what it's supposed to look like.
And what it shines on. Because they'd be like, what is the point? What's the significance? What is it? You know, like in the Indiana Jones, when it comes through, it's pointing at something. You know, it's like, so what's the significance of when it comes through?
Yeah,
so it's
the
same
as
something.
Stonehenge. It's all outside because it's lining up the stone.
Right, but still it means something. There's something there.
Because in Stonehenge, the sun comes through the stones, lining up with the stone in the middle.
Right.
Now, this is a passageway going way back into this mound.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose?
There's got to be a purpose. So there was a purpose at one point. I bet there still is one, but
it's the same with the pyramid. They're supposed to be that the
passageways under them.
Passageways and the chambers point upward into the sky. So it all has to do with something to do with the sky and with the dating.
Mm-hmm.
So we really probably haven't figured all this out yet. But
you think?
But the ancient,
I bet we barely scratched the surface.
The ancient people, though, who built these, not these farmers, They had a reason for it.
Absolutely. You don't do stuff like that for nothing. I mean, just to have a window for the sun to come through one time a year. There's a reason.
Even at Stonehenge, when it's four mm-hmm. times a year, what mm-hmm. is the reason?
Right.
But this is amazing. I didn't know anything about this, and it's going to be very interesting to get to go and see it.
Yeah, and that was by total divine intervention that we are getting. You were starting to ask before we came on, how did we get to go in? It was really a fluke, because when Mark first called, and he's the one that's setting this up for us and our thing in Dublin, when he first called them, just thinking, oh, maybe we can go in there, they just laughed at him. And they said, you know, what year? 2 years from now, maybe? You know, when he gave them the date, and they're like, they said, we'll put your name down. I think he said, just put my name down just in case.
Because there's a long waiting list to get in there.
Right. And then something happened, and the time opened up, and they called him, and they said, you're not going to believe this. It's open. Do you want to do this? And so he jumped right on it. So, see, this is something that we are supposed to experience.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's things happening on this trip that not everybody, because that's something that's hard to get to. You don't get in there very often.
And he said not very many people are allowed mm-hmm. in, just so many people at one time and mm-hmm. so many people a year.
Yeah.
And it's done that way on purpose. I think they want to keep the tourists out so it won't be trodden down and destroyed and everything.
Something. Anyway, we'll see. I mean, that just means there's something. It's very special, or something special is going to happen. Some reason we've been allowed in, so
mm-hmm.
that'll be interesting to see what, you know.
Well, the only thing I could think of is, you know, we've done enough work that we know the ETs had a lot to do with the mm-hmm. raising of the stones, and mm-hmm. it's something to do with the solar system, having to do with where they come from, where things get very complicated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also we do know, what I've found is a lot of the Stonehenge and all these pyramids were built by the survivors of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
That after Atlantis, right at the time when it was going down, many of them escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got stories in my books that came from my sessions where they got into boats and mm-hmm. took what they could with them, the crystals and the mm-hmm. scrolls, and they were going to take their knowledge with them.
Right.
And they got out just before the main continent of Atlantis went down.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them came ashore in what is now Egypt.
Yeah.
So, and this at the same time, all these things were being built all over the world.
I keep getting communication, and I think that is what's been said, that a lot of things, these things are for communication. And
with
I was
each
just,
other?
You know, with home.
Okay.
Because while you're saying that, I'm thinking, okay, but why would they do that? Okay, and if this happened to us, and we're now off, you know, our home is flooded and everything, and we're going to go someplace. Why would we go there, and why would we build something that maybe was like something we built before? Why would we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's to communicate. Mm-hmm. We're trying to communicate maybe with our ancestors, our home, or whatever. I mean, that would be where they came from, you know. So
because I found in Atlantis there were pyramids. They were gigantic structures mm-hmm. and huge, gigantic crystals. And so a lot of that did go down when it happened.
Right, so trying to recreate what they had.
With the knowledge.
Right.
And, of course, the stories I've got, even when they came ashore in what is now Egypt, the people didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found a few they could teach.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew how to levitate.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanteans did. They knew how to levitate rock. They knew how to mold rock. Like, at the same time all of this was being built, also it was being done in, like, Machu Picchu.
Yeah, because that was probably the same people. They just scattered, and they just went to different
all
places.
At the same time, and that's what's fascinating.
Okay, so in your work, these things, or in Atlantis, when they built these things, were they for communication?
A lot of it was, and they were for healing.
Mm-hmm.
They were portals. They were for traveling through time.
Okay. That explained. That's what they were doing then. They were just trying to recreate what they had, and it was for these purposes. One, this huge thing just happened, and they were trying to get established again, but they're also trying to reconnect. And so
that's why when I was doing the book Jesus and the Essenes, and I was doing my research there, in addition to Machu Picchu and mm-hmm. Cusco with the huge mm-hmm. stones, the original temple of Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
was made out of huge, enormous stones as big as a room. And they didn't know how they were built either.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever it was finally destroyed, they said by the Romans, when I came in, I think it was the 70 AD, when they told them to totally destroy Jerusalem, they tore it down, and they took these gigantic stones and threw them over into an abyss that mm-hmm. surrounded mm-hmm. the original temple. But it was made out of huge, enormous stones that nobody could have lifted either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me. See, that would have been built back about that time, too,
mm-hmm.
because it was when...
It's what these people knew.
It's Solomon,
what
they were
knew
all
how to
building.
Do.
They
yeah.
knew how to manipulate
mm-hmm.
stone.
Right.
They knew how to move stone.
Yeah.
And all over the world, all of these structures mm-hmm. were being built at
the same way.
The same way right. and at the mm-hmm. same time yeah. period.
That's logical. That makes sense.
The archaeologists don't think
so. No, because they don't look at the big picture like that.
But everywhere we've gone and everyone that I've investigated in my work, they have been... exploring, you know, they built these huge structures everywhere. And, of course, a lot of them don't understand how.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones at Cusco, the stones are put together like they're molded. They're
right.
they're not square. They're rounded, and
mm-hmm.
they're fit together in a way that's impossible unless you're going to carve them that way. And these aren't carved. They said you can't even put a credit card between the seams, and there's no cement holding it together.
Yeah.
So these are the structures that were being built everywhere. So to me, I think this Newgrange would be along the same line.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was 5,000 years ago when all of that was happening, and you know that's about how old the Temple of Jerusalem was, because it goes way back before the time of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all of that, but then it seemed like 1,000 years later they came up with the idea of the standing stones for whatever purpose that
mm-hmm.
was. Anyway, I think a lot of the theories I have found make more sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you'll have an opportunity to probe that more in sessions.
Yeah, because... the archaeologists can only go with what they know and what
mm-hmm.
history says.
Exactly.
And the history of the area
mm-hmm.
and the people. But it doesn't make sense when a bunch of farmers
mm-hmm.
are going to go out and do something like this.
Yeah.
And in Egypt,
well,
enslaved.
I think they probably have an idea. I think they probably know that doesn't make sense. But because this is the accepted norm, they kind of have to do that, or they're going to have a lot of ridicule or a lot of bucking from the ones that fund them and everything else, you know. So it's a whole system that goes on there. So, you know, so they kind of have to say what is popular to say, probably,
yeah.
you know.
Little
by little, they let little things out.
I saw a special of just a few months ago on the public television
mm-hmm.
thing, about Stonehenge and the way it was trying to explain
right.
how they were built
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
And it gets into the ridiculous.
Well, it does. It does. It's like, you know, that couldn't have happened.
And why would they have done it anyway, to spend all of
right.
those man hours
yeah.
dragging stones up
mm-hmm.
the hills?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Easter Island was another one. I was just thinking of that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But you put a lot of manpower and hours into
yeah.
something.
I mean, unless they just had a surplus of people, was a lot of time on their hands, and they just needed to build something. I mean, you know, and they just need to do something out of folly, you know, kind of thing. So it makes about as much sense. And really, I mean, they're going, well, it makes more sense than your levitating stones things. Well, okay, actually that makes more sense. Let's, you know, they had abilities, you know. So, I mean, it's about as ludicrous. If you really want to get ludicrous, and they want to say that this is ludicrous, to levitate, well, that's ludicrous to think that they pulled them up a hill with twine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Or drug them some way.
Mm-hmm.
Are they
well, that's
carved,
what they said. That's what they
carved
said.
Carved them with antler bones,
mm-hmm.
antler horns and bones and things. But, yeah, what I found, and I think it was in Jesus and the Essenes, a lot of these things were raised by sound.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the combined power of their minds,
right.
because the Atlanteans
mm-hmm.
learned how to use their minds to the utmost degree.
Mm-hmm.
They could do anything mm-hmm. with their minds.
Yeah, and what's exciting is that's what we're just starting to have opened back up for us, you know.
Yeah, the psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. But that was what brought them down, is they abused the power of their minds. But they could do anything with their mind. So they, what would make more sense, and the survivors are the ones that wanted to recreate this. But also what I found, even in the Bible times, a lot of it was done with sound.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, like, one example they gave me was people mm-hmm. lined up opposite mm-hmm. each other with different kinds of horns, different kinds of instruments.
Uh-huh.
And they would all be blasting the same tone.
Mm-hmm.
And they each breathed in succession so that the tone would be steady.
Yeah.
And they said this is one of the ways that they were able to raise stone
mm-hmm.
and transport stone mm-hmm. over long distances even. Mm-hmm. They just did it through the line of people.
Yeah.
Making these, this had to be a certain tone. And this way they could transport the
stone. So they didn't do any with their own voices?
They did. Sometimes they would do voices.
I feel that they use their voices.
Yeah, because the same way they all had to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
In succession so that the tone wouldn't stop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the other one I was given had to do with blowing horns uh-huh. and instruments.
Okay.
Would you remember in the Bible about Jericho, mm-hmm. the walls of Jericho?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And it was destroyed by sound.
That's true.
So they just marched around and around the walls and blowing on the horns and mm-hmm. making the sounds, and they collapsed the walls.
Yeah. Well, now you know, if you get the right pitch of something, you can break things.
Oh, yeah,
sound,
crystal.
So, mm-hmm. And
but they say they believe everything in the Bible. Well, okay, if you could destroy the walls of the city by sound, why can't you do the other way and raise the walls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I think it should make more sense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They had abilities we don't have now.
Yes.
Yeah, we're getting them back. We're getting them back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I found in those days. There were the people that had the ancient knowledge, mm-hmm. the ancient magic,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to preserve this because everybody else was so busy trying to raise crops and hunt and take care of everybody.
Right, right.
A select few were the ones that had the knowledge.
The keepers of the knowledge, makes sense.
The ancient mystery mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't got anything to do with a bunch of farmers deciding we're going to go out here and build something.
Right.
It's much more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So I find this fascinating.
Right, right.
And in my new book, we're going to have I don't know, I've got so much material. I've got way too much material for one convoluted four, but there's a whole section dealing with ancient knowledge and some of these talents
mm-hmm.
that they had. And
yeah, and that's important because those are things people might say, why do I need to know that? And it's because we're getting them back, and we need to know what was available at that time because it's all coming back now. We just have to believe it, and we can access it. We
mm-hmm.
just have to know that used to be us. We used to be able to do this. All we had to do is tap back into it, and we can do it again.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, that was what I was told right after Atlantis. We got to the point that we abused the powers of our mind, and it was like blowing a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
They said it had to all be taken away because mm-hmm. we couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant everything had to go back to the primitive state and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But they said we are getting to the point now where it is coming back. We're rediscovering these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's hope we can handle it.
We're coming from a place of, you know, whether we remember it or not, we've been there, done that. We misused it, so now we're coming from a place of, I want to do it correctly this time. We have a second chance. You know, we're rectifying, and we're also moving farther, you know, with it. So it's a whole lot of different angles here that we're accomplishing.
Because I've had many, many people who have gone back to past lives when they were in Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told time and time again, they came back to be here now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So make sure we don't make the same mistakes again and we get it right.
Right. And who better to know how to move through this minefield, so to speak, than the ones who've been there already, the ones who created it. So.
And they mm-hmm. said they're paying back a lot of karma, too.
Right.
By coming back and doing it now trying to correct the mistakes and don't make the same mistakes again. That's mm-hmm. what it's all mm-hmm. about.
Right.
But if anybody wants to find out about the Newgrange tour, and we're going to be talking about the other ones.
The whole tour.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be giving out the website if you were interested in it, because this is, I think it's going to be very fascinating.
Oh, absolutely.
Something different for us.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
always look for the difference.
Right.
Well, after we go leave Newgrange, then we go to London, and then I'll be doing a whole series of lectures all over England. And these, I think, are lectures workshops. That means I'll be doing probably group regression
right. mm-hmm. yeah.
at
mm-hmm.
this.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'll be doing...
Starts with Bournemouth.
The first one's
mm-hmm.
going to be
yeah.
in Bournemouth,
right.
in the south of England. And then after that, I'll be in Cardiff, and there'll be lectures and workshops there. And mm-hmm. then to Swindon. So these are all the same things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just whatever happens in an area that you want to be in. So.
And after Swindon, then we do the tour of the sacred sites in England.
Yeah. Is this where we have the limit? When do we do the dinner? Is that here?
That's here on the 2nd of September.
Yeah, dinner. Okay.
Bristol.
And, yeah, and it's also some of our other authors are going to be over there, too, at the dinner. And that'll be really cool. Like, you heard Guy Needler last week. He'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And... I haven't talked about, see if we can maybe Vera, too. I know that Stuart and Joanna won't be in the country at that point, so they're not going to be able to be there. But we may have several of our authors there, which is really cool.
That are living in England.
Mm-hmm, right.
But that's going to be in Bristol, that there's going to be a dinner with me and everybody else. And
everybody
then,
gets to watch you eat.
I don't like that. Anyway, then the day after, Saturday, September the 3rd, is when we start the tour of the sacred sites. We start out at Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there several times, but I'm going to be telling what I know from my research
right.
of when Joseph of Arimathea mm-hmm. was there and Jesus was there and the first church was founded there.
Uh-huh.
And it's the holiest place on earth
mm-hmm.
because this is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is buried, and John, the disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most famous people in the Bible are buried there at Glastonbury.
I just know when I was there, and I was just there a few months ago, it's just a wonderful feeling there. It's got a beautiful energy about
mm-hmm.
it. Not to say that it's a holy energy, it's just a beautiful, peaceful energy
yeah.
there. So,
but in all these places, I'll be talking about what I have found
mm-hmm.
in my work. Of course, it's controversial. It's not the norm, but so what?
Well, it's and we'd expect anything else?
It's the norm for me, and
right.
everybody knows my work is not the norm anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I always go off in all these other directions. But after Glastonbury, that's on Saturday, then on Sunday... we get another rare thing
mm-hmm.
that people
very
don't
rare.
Get to do
right.
at Stonehenge. We're going to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be allowed to be in the center of Stonehenge when the sun rises.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not very many people are
no,
allowed in
No, you have to
that.
Book that months and months ahead. I mean, it's rare to be able to get inside. Very rare. So
we've mm-hmm. gone before. They've always had it taped off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want anybody
yeah,
in that.
You can't
setting.
Get very close.
No, you're back like, quite a ways.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
a magnificent
mm-hmm.
Thing to
mm-hmm.
see.
Yeah.
All out there in this plain, it just all by itself mm-hmm. out there. But it is beautiful. But still, we're going to be able to be inside
right.
of
inside
the circle,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which has never been allowed. I mean, not never been, but it's
mm-hmm.
Very rarely allowed,
right.
and you have to be very special to be able to get
well,
in
Well, you
there.
Have to you have to book it quite a bit ahead. I mean, it's not that you have to be special. It's
Maybe
just that you
the
have
wrong
to
wording.
Exactly. You have to. It has to be really planned out, and usually when you go over there, it's not you don't have that much time ahead to plan it. And, I mean, it's got to be a group. It's got to be
a
special
group of
thing,
people.
You know, so that
so
way.
So she said she's going to have to have at least 20 for that.
No, it's just it takes, that's all it can have is 20. Not at least 20. It's all it can take is 20. So
okay.
That's,
and people are signing up for that. But I found more information about Stonehenge, and this is going in the new book, about how there was a portal
right.
in the
mm-hmm.
center.
Yeah.
Of course, over time, the energy has been destroyed. of it, but of course there's still some remnants of the energy because Stonehenge has a very strong energy. Maybe we'll get to feel it if we're going to be in the center.
Exactly. I mean, there's some reason they don't let people go in the center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have it as a normal place everybody goes. So,
So I'll be telling what I've found through my regression work about Stonehenge. And then we go to Avebury.
Mm-hmm.
And Avebury is also another beautiful one. And it has standing stones. But the thing there was the Romans knew the power of these sites.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very ancient site also.
Right.
So what they did, it was had earthwork all the way around it,
mm-hmm.
and like a wall. And what they did, they cut through that and made roads going through it to destroy the power.
Yeah.
The same thing, the power of Stonehenge was destroyed on purpose.
Oh, and they did it more. Well, they did, but in Avebury, it's really noticeably intentional. I mean, it's like they... Because then they go in and they knock stones over, or then they break them up and build homes out of them, or then they, it's like, you know.
And there's a town, town of Avebury, right there inside.
Where Stonehenge, it wasn't that, I mean, some stones are pulled off, you know, and that's it. It's not that they took them and destroyed them or anything like that.
No, they broke through the earthwork with roads to break the power. And the town of Avebury is right inside the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But leading up to Avebury is what's called the Avenue. And it is, they used to have standing stones on both sides of the highway as it goes all the way into Avebury.
Mm-hmm.
I guess way back in those ancient days, they had processions that would go down there to get to the holy sites. But a lot of those have been broken off and knocked down. But they have markers where they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be...
The thing was, when I was there, because I just went there a few months ago, and where all the stones are, I mean, because we were walking in all the four quadrants and stuff, and one of the quadrants they haven't found, they're still, because they're needing money to resurrect these stones, to go find them. They're there. They've just been buried, a lot of them have.
Unless they were broken up.
Right. Well, they knocked them over, and then that's what they've got. They find them, and they've been knocked over, and they pull them back up. But this one quadrant... None of the stones, they hadn't worked that quadrant yet, but that's where I felt the strongest energy was in that one. And it was like, what's here? And they said, well, they haven't worked this one yet.
Mm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the other ones, I would feel some things off of certain stones, and it felt good, but that one, I really felt like it had stuff going on, and that was where they hadn't done anything yet. So.
Well, anyway, this is going to be Saturday and Sunday, September the 3rd and the 4th. We will be at Glastonbury, Stonehenge, and Avebury. I think this is where we need to give out Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in that tour with Newgrange, Stonehenge, Avebury,
well, finding information on how it all works and stuff. Yeah, what all
and the lectures and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You give her website.
Stephanie Bell is setting all this up, and she's organizing everything. And you need to go to her website to contact her. And that's at www.universal-mind.co.uk. That's universal-mind.co.uk. And that's Stephanie Bell.
Universal Mind. And she is in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's setting all of this up.
Yeah. She's doing a fantastic job.
So after we do the tour of the sacred sites, then we go to Birmingham, and I'll be doing the lecture and the workshop in Birmingham, then on to Manchester. So this is moving up further north.
Mm-hmm.
To Manchester, the same thing, lectures there. Then I go to Edinburgh, which is going into Scotland. So here we're going to see Ireland, England, and Scotland.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Edinburgh, it's the same thing, the lecture and the workshop. Then we come back into London after that. And I'll be back.
Oh. And then you do your class, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be back in London September the 11th, and we're going to have...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're
that's
going
right.
to have a all day.
Right. That's like a little mini conference there. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
With other authors, and that's going to be at the Best Western Mostly Hotel in London. It's an all-day thing with some other authors also.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be doing a book signing at Watkins in London. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a very full trip. Oh,
absolutely.
Then, after that, is when we have our class.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
This is September 14th, and the class is where I had it last year. It's out by Oxford. Farringdon, which is right by Oxford. We'll have the Level 2 class first, and then the Level 1. This is the weekend of September the 16th to the 18th. I always do that on purpose, have the Level 2 first, because we don't want people to take them both at the same time. But we're getting more
We're changing flexible. That, so you don't have to keep announcing that.
We're getting more flexible about it anyway. So anyway, then we'll have our class, and that's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 16th to the 18th. And I don't know how many is in that, but it is filling up, too.
Oh, it's getting very, very, it's getting good size, very good size. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested in that class, mm-hmm. the class in Stockholm, there's going to be two classes on this trip, the one in Stockholm, mm-hmm. which is next week.
Right.
And then the one September, what is
16th
it? 16th
to the 18th.
16th to the 18th at Farringdon, mm-hmm. outside of Oxford.
And those, they would go onto our website. To your website, and it'll have all that information on those
about
two classes.
Those classes.
Mm-hmm. And that's DoloresCannon.com.
Okay, they can find mm-hmm. all about that.
Right.
Anyway, after that, then I'm going to go to Rome and just have a few days just relaxing mm-hmm. before I come mm-hmm. home.
Yeah.
Julia's going to go on to Egypt.
Yep.
And we have about 3 or 4 days.
Right.
Originally, we were going to go to another country down there,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we had that time available,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
that didn't work out. They want to do it next year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then it was Portugal and
Malta,
mm-hmm. different. They talked even about Gibraltar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it couldn't come together, so I said, well, we got some days off. I don't mind having days
right.
off after
right.
a hectic
mm-hmm.
schedule like
mm-hmm.
this. So Julie's going to go on to Egypt. And you're going to be arranging something for next year.
Yes, that's one of the reasons we're going, is so that I can meet the people that organize things, the tours over there, because we are going to organize a tour for you next year. We'll probably do a class or something over there at the same time.
Around
the pyramid, so we can do a tour of those as, like, in a package deal with your class or something like that, if they want to do both or one or whatever. But that's going to be exciting. So
that'll be next
mm-hmm.
year. So while she's doing that, I figure I'm down there, and I was supposed to go to the Rome area anyway, so I figured I'll just go on and relax. So while I'm in Rome, first I want to see the Colosseum. I've never been to Rome before. I've got to see the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
And but they always talk about the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I would want to go to the Vatican would be to see the Sistine Chapel. And the ceiling, the
mm-hmm,
pictures
right.
of Michelangelo painted
yeah.
on the ceiling.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something you've got to, I mean, that's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things. You know,
yeah,
you're
I
there,
mean,
you
I'm
need
there.
To see it.
I might
mm-hmm.
as well see these things.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to do that, and I do want to go to the Colosseum. One thing I found that's interesting with the Colosseum, they said they put an elevator in.
Just for you.
For people to get up to the second level,
mm-hmm.
because the steps going up to that level that have been there since
mm-hmm.
the Roman times
mm-hmm.
were 16 inches high, each the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And they said people today can't climb steps.
Well, they
like
can, that. But it's a challenge. You wouldn't be able to.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to try it.
But,
and, I think even somebody in good shape, that'd be hard.
Well, and somebody in good shape can do it, because that's where people all the time take two steps. That would be like when people take two steps on a staircase.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we said, my gosh, what did they do in those days? But, you know,
they were warriors.
That was the gladiators.
I mean, they had big, big muscles
in their
legs. Yeah, they were. That's why they were climbing those stairs.
Running up and down those big steps. But, you know, in those days, that was the gladiators that were down there killing the lions and the tigers and fighting each other. So I guess they did have muscles.
That was their exercise routine, was running up and down those stairs. Now we do it on bleachers. They did it on the on that.
Okay. So they said they do have an elevator, which I think is good. Otherwise, I don't think I can do it. So I do want to see the Colosseum. But another thing I found when I was checking out the tours of Rome, they have a day tour that takes you to Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I was a little girl, I've been fascinated by Pompeii. And in the new book, I'm writing some stories mm-hmm. about people who were there yeah. and when it went down. And Mount Vesuvius is right there, and it's still an active volcano. And if any of you remember, Pompeii, way, way back, I think it said it was 75 or 60-something after, you know, after Christ,
mm-hmm.
is when it erupted. The Mount Vesuvius erupted and completely buried Pompeii and Herculaneum, which was another city next to it. But it was mostly buried by ash, and so the people were preserved like mm-hmm. mummies. And, of course, they've excavated all of that. But since I was a little girl, I've been fascinated by Pompeii. And don't ask me why, because I've always been fascinated by Greece, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out when I went to Greece, I had a life there.
So I'm sure you had a life there, too, Pompeii.
Maybe I got buried in Pompeii.
Yeah, and you'll find yourself.
But these sessions I've had, there were several people who were there mm-hmm. whenever it erupted.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice if I could see it, then I could add it to that part of the new book.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good when you can go and check these places out for yourself. But it's going to be an all-day tour by bus, and we'll go through Naples and go to see Pompeii. Mm-hmm. So these are things I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Might as well get to do them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't know when you'll be back, so you might as well. You absolutely have to do that.
Yeah, but they say don't wait. If something presents itself, don't wait because maybe there'll be another time later or you're afraid to go or you don't know if you should. Just go ahead and take the opportunity.
Yeah. I saw a sign today in a shop, and I thought that was really interesting. It said, why save, hopefully I'll get this right, why save the future for your better days? You know, we're always saying, I'll do this and this and this down the road, later. And it's like, why save the future? I mean, why put it off? Maybe it was put off to the future, all your better days. In other words, do all your drudgery now so you can do it later, and then you won't be able to. later may never come. So.
No, because so many people work and work and work. They retire, and then maybe they get sick, and mm-hmm. they said they can't do the things
right.
they wanted to do.
Right.
Why not do them while you can?
When you have the opportunity, do it.
It's presented to
right.
you.
And what you'll find is by doing that, then you'll have more opportunities presented to you because you are taking, you are recognizing your opportunities, you're taking them, and you're doing them. So because you've done that, then you will see more opportunities. It's when you just keep pushing them off, then no more opportunities are presented to you.
Yeah, they'll say, someday down the road, I'll mm-hmm. travel, I'll go to see
yeah.
these things.
So the universe says, okay, we'll just save everything for someday down the road. And
then
nothing happens.
It never comes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the important thing. Do it while you can.
Mm-hmm.
But after all of this, I'll have a few days there in Rome to relax. And then we come home. This is the end of September. We're only home 2 days, and I have to turn around and go to India.
Right.
And we're going to Bangalore, and it's a huge conference that I got to speak at in Bangalore. It's called the Global Congress for Spiritual Scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And they said scientists and doctors in metaphysics and from all over the world, mm-hmm. and it's big. So I said, even though I'm not going to have any time to get over jet lag, I've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing about this conference, it's held in a place outside Bangalore
right.
that's called Pyramid Valley.
Right.
Has the largest man-made pyramid in the world. And it's made entirely from crystal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was made to the specs of the Great Pyramid.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be speaking at a conference
in a building made out of crystal.
A crystal pyramid.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tremendous energy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know what's going to happen.
That'll be fun, though, to find out.
Mm-hmm. So we have to do that.
We have to do that.
Oh, we have to.
Yeah. Okay, do it that way. Yeah, we have to do that. Rather than, We have to do that.
I mean that. It's like you were saying, you've got to take advantage
of your opportunities.
Because
absolutely.
How do I know if I'd ever get invited again?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I got to do it, even though I'm not going to have much time for get over jet lag.
Right.
So this is why we won't be live again until October the 7th.
Right.
When we're finally back home in the States for about a week or 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
But I'll save that for later.
Mm-hmm.
So that tonight, we just wanted to tell you about all these places. And if anybody is interested in joining us in Europe.
We'd love to have you.
On
love
these
to
tour,
you, so.
This would be very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who are over there, if they can contact Stephanie Bell and get in on some of these things.
Well, the way to go is you have to contact Stephanie. So
to get in on the tours, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And in the different cities, she's helping to put the
doing all of it. She's organizing all of it. I mean, this is a huge undertaking she's done. You know, she's doing all of it.
So
she's got help, but she's organizing the whole thing. So
I'll be having lectures in all of these cities. So check out her website. Everything will be on there. It's where we're going to be. It's the
universal-mind.co.uk.
Yeah.
And you can also, there'll be a link on your website, DoloresCannon.com. On the events page, there'll be a link over to her page. So that's another way to get there.
And find out about all these things we'll be doing.
Right.
So we're going to be having a lot of adventures before we come back live on October the 7th. So but between that time, they'll be taking shows out of the archive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we get back, we'll have a lot of things to talk about.
Right.
Okay, so I think it's time to leave now, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and we're off on another adventure. So,
so make your life an adventure, too.
Yes, don't wait. Don't wait. Take advantage of the opportunity. Okay, everybody, good night.
Good night.